first time I became aware politically was at the time of the hunger strikes. And I remember I was only about 7 or 8, and I remember watching the hunger strikes on television and wondering why these individuals, these 10 men, had actually gone and starved themselves to death.
You're listening to Humans of Politics, a podcast about how it feels to be a politician. My name is A.B. Philpin Bowman, and my guest today is the ANTU leader and former Sinn Féin representative, Pádraig Tobin TD.
And I remember then I brought Unfublocked back into the home at 14 years old. And I remember my mother clipped me across the head with it and she said, never bring that back into this house ever again. And as the troubles in the north unfolded, I think that for many people of my age, the tragedy and the difficulties engendered a massive emotional response to politics. And I suppose that's why so many people got involved in politics around that.
Emotionally, what's the difference between working as a local councillor and working as a TD in the National Parliament?
So I really enjoy council work. Sometimes as an opposition TD, there's very little you can show for actual achievements. But when you're a councillor, there's a range of different small particular issues that you can win for people that actually have a material effect on people's lives. So the work of a councillor sometimes is far more positive and satisfying than typically an opposition TD. So I enjoyed tremendously being a councillor. I enjoy sitting down with people, finding out what their issues are and pushing everything I can, every button, every door, every phone call to see if I can make it happen. And I would always have that attitude, just get it fixed.
You fell out with your party, Sinn Féin, over the question of abortion, and you were then front and centre of the pro-life side during the referendum. And just listening to that public debate, it struck me that people on the pro-life side are really sincere in believing that they are standing up for the most vulnerable. They're standing up for innocent, unborn life. And people on the pro-choice side are utterly sincere in believing that they are standing up for the most vulnerable. They're standing up for women facing a crisis pregnancy. And on both sides, you have a cohort who are so convinced of the rightness of their way of seeing it that it's not that hard for them to start demonising the other side and questioning their motives. I just wonder, what was it like being in the middle of all that?
It is difficult. And the problem we have in Ireland now is that social media introduces a level of toxicity to the public debate that isn't there previously. So if someone has a really ignorant idea about you 30, 40 years ago, maybe that would remain in their close conversation or in a pub conversation. But now they've broadcast it to the world. So, and sometimes I think people can be strategically ignorant and rude in the effort to close down somebody else's views. And I think that's very dangerous too as well. So, you know, I would have a thick enough skin. My attitude is, you know, do your best and forget about whatever anybody else thinks. But there's no doubt that that does wear and tear at people inside. There's no doubt about that. And even when you're in a public domain, then if you're going to a concert, let's say, if you're in a pub, etc., you know, now and again you'll get comments which are just really aggressive or really negative. But that's part of the political sphere. You can't stand for something and expect that you're not going to get some churn.
What was it like walking away from Sinn Féin?
In November when this was happening, I remember cycling in. I drive to Castleknock and I cycle into the Dáil on a daily basis. And I cycled in, I think it was that week on a Monday, and I primed my brain to, okay, saying, I'm going to resign from Sinn Féin today. And I cycled in, and, you know, you kind of nearly need to get into this positive mental space where you say you're going to do this, you're not going to recoil from this particular situation. And then I went through it, and I had the press statement, and I had the letter, and then I just couldn't do it. And I cycled home that evening, and you're kind of going, what are you doing? And you're going through the nights and you're not sleeping and you're in that really difficult situation where you know you need to do something and you have to do something and it's the right thing to do. But all of your senses and your experience of history and your relationships cloud that and stop you doing it. And the really weird thing is, like, I've spoken to so many Sinn Féin councillors and members around the country who feel 100% with regards what I'm doing. And the funny thing is, and people, if you ask a person, what would be the main ingredient that makes a person decide what political party they're in? Most people would say, I'm sure it's policy, or I'm sure it's competency, or this type of stuff. I'll tell you, one of the main issues that has people in political parties today is simply their friendships. I would know a lot of people who are in political parties for 20 and 30 years who radically now disagree with the political parties, but because of their friendships and because of their traditions. I spoke to one TD and I said, you know, he wanted to come on board. And I obviously there's talk and, you know, I'm not foolish around this. But he would make the view that if I came on board, all of the people who have toiled and slogged for me for 20, 30 years would just never talk to me ever again. And I'll go to the rest of my days cutting myself off from all of that really important human space for me. So political party membership is in large part objectives and policy and competency, but it's a massive part friendships, tradition, relationships.
And when you finally did make that statement, what was your dominant feeling? Was it sadness or doubt or relief?
It was relief because I've been second guessing myself for a long, long period of time. And once you make a decision like that, the pressure radically falls away. It radically falls away. Now, there's then a significant backlash in that interim period of time. And obviously that is a difficult thing to deal with. But that starts to kind of unravel itself as well very, very quickly. But it is absolutely relief. And I would say to a lot of people out there, if you're thinking of making a decision around anything like this, it's the period before the decision that's actually the really difficult space. Once the decision is made, the pressure falls massively.
You've just been in studio on a radio debate programme where you were representing your new party, AN2. But I think it was the first time since you've left Sinn Féin that you were in the same studio as a former colleague, somebody who is still in Sinn Féin, a sitting TD, and you were arguing against the Sinn Féin position with him. I just wonder, what did that feel like? Was it like having a row with your ex?
I would say now, and I probably haven't said this before, but that was probably one of the most difficult things that has happened on a personal basis over the last number of years. I would have had a lot of people who were very close friends, comrades. Like, Sinn Féin is a party on its own. And because of its experience and because of, let's say, it's us against the rest of the world type instinct, there is a very tight-knit relationship. Other political parties do not have that deep level of interdependence that exists in a party like Sinn Féin. So when you're in an organisation like that for 21 years and then you're torn out of it to a certain extent, it becomes really, really difficult. And it would have been easily one of the toughest things. I would have a lot of people that, you know, are not speaking to me whatsoever, even still. Now, on the flip side of that, there's a lot of decent people within the organisation who are very warm and friendly as well. But it'd be hard for me to overemphasise how difficult that whole experience was.
What's it like trying to build a new party from scratch?
One of the things I didn't probably expect around the development of the new political movement is it's absolutely phenomenally hard. And I can't ever articulate how difficult this process is. Because one, we're very lucky that we're building at a massive rate, but we're doing it on the fumes of gas. And literally, I've gone to the situation now where I wake up every morning at around 4:30 and my mind is racing at speed. And obviously, there's no point in staying in bed, so you're up. And then you're literally driving home from some part of the country at midnight that night, or from a TV studio maybe at 1 o'clock or 12:30 that night. So the pressure is phenomenal. And the funny thing is, you nearly get this kind of view that, okay, it's January and I'll just get beyond May and then I can breathe and then I can actually, you know, allow for some level of relaxation and then I'll get on to the next issue. And in a funny way, like, you're telescoping 6 months into, okay, I just need to get through this. And that's a dangerous thing. It's kind of like when you're playing sports and you hold your breath while you're involved in the sports. You know that you can't actually continue to do that because you won't be able to have the energy to do it. So I need to learn a balance of being able to run at this full tilt, but obviously breathe and live as well, because it's not a sprint. It's actually a marathon.
And of course, now one of your jobs is to convince people to join this new party and to run for it. And go, what, just at a personal level, what advice do you give them? Like, this is what you're letting yourself in for, in a way. What do you tell them?
Well, I suppose my instincts in politics is, if you push all of your energy into something that you really love, that you really believe in, that's really important, and you come to that decision, and if you lose everything in the end of the day, it's not the end of the world. The sun will rise the next morning. Please God, you'll have something to eat for breakfast. and, you know, you will get on and move on. Now, there's no doubt, you know, that in all of these decisions, you got, you know, I have a big mortgage. I've, as I said, four young kids. Their financial future is at stake by some of these decisions, etc. But you know what? It is far better for your soul and for who you are to at least spend all your energy now on the things that are important to you than you literally becoming a conduit for something that you don't actually want to achieve. And there's another thing in politics, and it's really interesting. I've noticed it with lots of people. Lots of people have a particular view. They want to follow or achieve that view. They get into a really difficult situation. Do they do what they're told to do from their parties, or do they follow their own convictions? And then they follow the party's view. And do you know what happens? The mind is a funny thing. The mind starts to work a solution for that. So the mind starts to work out, well, maybe this is the right way. Maybe I should be going down this route. And it starts because I actually think the mind can't deal with that level of dissonance for too long. And all of a sudden you see people who actually change or flip politically themselves. And oftentimes they have the zeal of the convert then. They actually go down that route even with greater gusto than they would have had if they had that view in the first place.
What impact has politics had on the kind of dad you are?
It is a difficult thing because I really do believe that there's an opportunity cost here. If you're not around as much as you should, that it is going to cost your kids something. Whether it costs your kids memories, whether it costs your kids your ability to give guidance or even discipline, all of these things, if you're simply not there, they're just not going to have that. But, you know, my instinct is then when you're in that space, you make a particularly strong effort to really be in that space too. And my kids have great interest in politics. And one of the wonderful things, I bring them along to meetings now. I bring them to as many things that I can so that we can actually have the moment and that they can see what their dad's up to as well.
Padraig O'Bean, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for listening to Humans of Politics. If anything really annoyed you or got you thinking, all feedback is very welcome. I'm on Twitter as AB Philbin Bowman, at ABIEPB. You can hear every episode of the show for free. It's on the RT radio player or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Humans of Politics. Finally, if you'd like more people to hear this conversation, the simplest and cheapest thing you could do would be to leave us a nice review on iTunes or Spotify. Thanks again for listening.